And so how do we help capture the attention of those who say, I don't need Jesus?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church. Today's scripture reading will come from two separate passages. The first passage we will hear from is Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. Scripture says, "Whoever believes in him will not be ashamed. There is no difference between Jews and Greeks. They all have the same Lord, who gives his riches to everyone who calls on him. So then, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can people call on him if they have not believed in him? How can they believe in him if they have not heard his message? How can they hear if no one tells the good news? How can people tell the good news if no one sends them? As scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who announce the good news." Our second passage comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. "But brothers and sisters, you don't live in the dark. That day won't take you by surprise as a thief would. You belong to the day and the light, not to the night and the dark. Therefore, we must not fall asleep like other people, but we must stay awake and be sober. People sleep at night. People who get drunk at night. Since we belong to the day, we must be sober. We must put on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. It was not God's intention that we experience his anger, but that we obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake in this life or asleep in death, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage each other and strengthen one another as you are doing."
Well, hear these words that come from Matthew chapter 28 and verses 16 to 20. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore.'" Notice it doesn't say stay. It says, "Go therefore into all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then over in the book of John, where he gathers with the disciples in that upper room and he talks with them, and I would have loved to have been there to watch them go through this process of nearly what to us is almost four chapters of instructions, but some very, very pertinent words that are still pertinent even to today. And we look at John chapter 15, beginning with verse 5, one of those important statements about I am, who I am, his identity. "I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch withers. Such branches are gathered together, thrown into the fire and burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the Word of God. Amen. Pokemon and, oh my gosh, what in the world does this have to do with the church and Christianity? But you know what? It has everything to do with this. It means that we take something that maybe we don't understand, that's not relevant to us, but sort of look at how are the things that are out there in the world become relevant to us, and how do we use things like Pokemon and those kind of things to reach out to the world when they're trying to reach out to us. And, you know, it doesn't take long to drive through town or drive through any community and realize that there are folks who are taking great risks to play Pokemon and capture all those figures and capture all those things. And there are characters in Pokemon. There are hundreds of characters. And it's interesting that as you look at those characters and they take changes upon themselves, they remind us of our spiritual journey. They remind us that the old passes away and behold, the new come, that we become new creatures in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to talk about an old-fashioned message, an old-fashioned grace? That old-fashioned grace is really not old-fashioned. It's still very relevant. It's still very pertinent. But how do we take something that to us might seem old-fashioned and make it very, very relevant, make it very, very personable and purposeful for people today who've yet to hear it? I was sitting in farmland yesterday, and it was a reminder to me. I was talking with some folks that I know well, and it struck me, and it just caught me off guard for a minute, and I responded back, and I looked at this young man, and I said, "Don't look at me when you say that." His comment was, "I don't have time for Jesus. I don't have time for Jesus." And I thought, that's a very important statement, because he's not the only one. There are lots of folks out there that don't have time for Jesus. That just doesn't fit into their reality. But yet, we know that they need Jesus. And Jesus wants them as well. And so how do we help capture the attention of those who say, "I don't need Jesus"? Well, the disciples did what Jesus commanded them. They went. They went out and they taught and they ministered. And I think the important part of that statement is that in Matthew, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And we remember that as Jesus taught, he did not allow them to go to certain places. He didn't want them in Samaria. He didn't want them in certain places because it wasn't safe for them to go. But suddenly, at this moment, he's saying to them, go into all the nations. So suddenly, Samaria becomes a very appropriate place for them to go. It became very appropriate for them to go everywhere, because everywhere they went and everywhere we go, people need to hear the gospel. And he also told them that they were to teach them to obey everything that he had commanded them, everything that he had taught to them, they were to share, and to remember that he would be with them always. You know, we sometimes, when we get ready to think about our journey of faith, or we think about somebody asking us to do something, well, I'm not qualified to do that. I'm not able to do that. Well, if we waited around to be qualified, we wouldn't get a whole lot done. Because you see, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He gives you the skills and the abilities to do what he needs you to do. He sees what you have. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what needs to be done. And he knows that you may be just the right person to meet that particular need. And remembering that when he calls you as a qualified person, he's not going to leave you hanging out there to dry. Because he also says in John, apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to grasp onto the fact that he doesn't leave us alone, and that he sees us as capable of being able to do what we need to do. And the fact that we're called as United Methodists to make disciples of the world, that will make disciples of Jesus Christ, that will transform the world. Well, I got to thinking, what does that statement mean? What do we mean in the United Methodist Church when we say, make disciples of Jesus Christ to transform the world? Well, first of all, what it means is that we're to share the good news of Jesus Christ by example, through our love of God, through our love of neighbor and of ourself. And that's not an egotistical love of self, because if we don't love ourselves first, we can't possibly love God, nor can we love our neighbor. We need to respect others and defend religious freedom for all persons. Now, that may get a little touchy in this day and age when we're dealing with all that we're dealing with. But we still need to respect one another. We need to respect one another's differences and defend those differences for others. And it says, we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our being, with all of our mind. We must love our neighbor as ourselves. So sharing and defending is a part of that, making disciples of Jesus Christ. The other part of that, and I take this from the discipline, is that making disciples means that we're going to proclaim, we're going to lead, we're going to nurture, and we're going to continue the mission of Christ by seeking, welcoming, and gathering persons into the community of the body of Christ. So the question then becomes, what does that look like for you and I here at Van Buren? Well, let's look at what we said we are, in case you've not heard that for a while. We said that our mission at Van Buren, you see, we have to tell the story, first of all, and that's part of the proclamation. Because if that young man who doesn't have time for Jesus, doesn't hear the story, and someone doesn't proclaim it to him, he's never going to have the opportunity to hear it. And it means that we all have to be willing to do that, and that we're called to do that. So what does it mean for us to make disciples? We said that we're a growing church of growing Christians sharing Jesus Christ with Van Buren and the world. Do you know your story? As you're growing as a Christian, what is your story? And that's not the story of how you came to be a member of this church, but it's how did you become a Christian? How did you come to love and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I really believe that we are first and foremost Christians. And we have to know where that started. You may not know the exact hour. You may not remember the exact day. But how did you meet Jesus Christ? You know, I began to meet Christ early on in my life. Yes, it was in a Methodist church. But I met him through some very, very important people, some very wonderful people who took time to share that story with me day after day, year after year, to the point that I wanted to make that my own story. Many of those people have since passed away, and I anticipate seeing in heaven. But they took time to share that with me. And that's just one piece of my story. I could go on. So then, and you have to know your story. Your story is not like my story at all. You know, somebody the other day was asking me about my divorce. And some people are shocked when they find out I was divorced, because they're like, I didn't even know you were married, because I've been divorced for so long. But I'll make a comment or something about when I was married, and they'll say, well, tell me more about that. And so we talk about that, you know. It's not a thing I'm necessarily proud of. But I believe that out of that experience, God took me on another part of my journey that has me where I'm at today. So we have to know our story. And your story can't be my story, nor can our story be Paul's experience on the road to Damascus. You know, very few people get struck down like Paul did. Those just don't happen all the time. But what is your story? And then we have to own your story. That this is my story. And then we have to live that out. And finding ways in which we can live out our story on a day-to-day basis. And so as we do that, we become, I believe, a growing church of growing Christians who share Jesus Christ with Van Buren and the world. So we have to know our own stories in order to share that. Because you see, we are not going to be in heaven divided up in rooms that are labeled Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, Church of Christ, Nazarene, you fill in the blank. We're all going to be mixed up there together, because we've all worshiped one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But our first priority is about our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our first priority. If we are worshiping in the United Methodist Church, it's because we're here, because there are things here that line up with what we believe. We may not always agree with where the Methodist Church is. I can say that. I took a vow to uphold the discipline. I took a vow to uphold the Methodist Church. But that still allowed me the right to complain or to disagree at times. But most importantly, I'm first and foremost a Christian. And that's my first responsibility. So how do we then live out this mission that we call our mission? Well, there's that vision that I've created for you. And we've kind of, I don't know that I've actually shared this with you, but I want to share it with you this morning. And this vision is really something that as you became a member in the Methodist Church at Van Buren, you probably took these vows, and maybe you've forgotten them. As a growing church of growing Christians, that we will share Jesus Christ through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. How did I get to that? Well, back in the January, we did a thing called a core values audit, and it got kind of crazy. It got kind of mathematically messed up, and I own that. But as I looked at the values that you identified as administrative folks and leaders in this church, the things that you identified kept falling right down around those five vows of membership about our prayer life, about our presence, about our gifts, about our service, and about our witness. So I want to share another further thing with you. So how does that happen? How does that look in reality? Well, we strive to accomplish that mission and vision by five things. First of all, by our prayers. And there are five action words that go with each one of these statements. First of all, we communicate. We communicate with God and with others the needs of our community and our church. So when you come in to worship, or we send out emails to one another, we're communicating with ourselves, but we're also communicating with God about our community and our church and the people that we love. And as I think about those words that are lined up with our United Methodist mission, proclaiming, leading, nurturing, gathering, welcoming, and sending, those also fit together quite nicely, I think. So we come to strive through our presence. You see, worship is important to us. Now, we can worship outside of here, at the golf course and on the lake and all those places. But God desires for us to be in worship on a regular basis. He desires for us to be together in worship, to be unified. Because it's, as I said earlier in our prayer, worship isn't about us. Worship is about God. It's about us giving our praise to God. And we need to be in worship as often as we can, as regularly as we can. The challenge with that is that we live in a world where worship has, like a lot of things, become not quite as important. Let me share with you a trend that's happening in the world of worship. These days, people feel that if I get to worship two Sundays out of four, that's okay. Or maybe even one out of four. I don't need to be in worship on a regular basis because I've got commitments other places. We live in a world where commitment suddenly is not as significant and not as important. We have a generation of folks, our millennials, who commitment is a difficult thing for them. They're not ready to commit. And so committing to being, you know, belonging to something that involves them having to make a weekly presence is difficult. Once a month, maybe as much as they're able to commit to. So how do we as the church, which is an old-fashioned message, reach out to folks who may only want to be with us once a month? That's a challenge for us to sort through. How do we help them hear this message once a month and make it stick, make it be relevant to them? That's a challenge for us. It's a struggle at some level. So our presence, seeking and welcoming and gathering, attending to worship, attending to study, and the sharing of our service and resources with others in the church and the community. And I'll be anxious for you to feed back to me when you get done listening to this morning. See if I'm on target with what you understand, what you believe. Our gifts. by lending and sending, supporting our church with our talents, our skills, and our resources. Sometimes when we look at that membership vow, we oftentimes think it has to do with what comes out of our back pocket. And that's not all of it. It also has to do with, what do I have? Going back to that qualified part, what has God given me in resources, in skills, and abilities to be able to help share the message, to help lead people and to send people, and to resource others that they might know about the message of Christ as well? Our service, welcoming, seeking, and gathering. You know, I hear people who come here to worship, have been here to worship, and say, I've not been in as friendly a church as that in a long time. And that's a good thing, because they feel like this is a safe place. This is a place they can feel comfortable. They're not looked at as an unusual person. They're not looked at as a stranger, and that's a good thing. Because a lot of times people go to churches and they think, oh, they were about as unfriendly as a wallpaper. And I don't want to go back. So we don't want to lose that peace. But reaching out with fellowship, with hope, with help, with love and encouragement to our church and our community, so that others can experience that same welcoming and loving experience and seeking and gathering experience as well. And lastly, through our witness, that's our proclaiming and our leading, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with lessons, with stories, with sermons, and other opportunities of learning about the transforming love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. That's part of our worship. That's part of our study. That's part of living, sharing, and knowing our story, that we can share that with other people as we go about the community in which we live. And it's difficult sometimes to be encouraged, inward focused and outward focused. And what that really means is that, are we totally focused on just us and having a nice warm experience here in the building, and we come to worship, and that's the end of what happens? Or do we move beyond the building? Do we get beyond ourselves? Do we get outside of ourselves and take Christ out into the world? And I think we do. And I think one of the things that I want us to think about this morning is celebrate some of the outward-focused stuff that we're doing. And one of the things that I marvel about and that I share with other people when we clergy get together and we talk about, oh, how is it with you and how is it with you? And we swap stories back and forth. And I share with them, you know, while we struggle and we want so much to have families and we want to have so much to have children in our church, remember and let's celebrate all the places that we're having an impact on kids. We had 25 K through fifth graders in here Wednesday afternoon for Not Home Alone. 25! Maybe a handful of those might have a connection with a church. They may not have a connection with our church, but they have a connection with the church. 25 kids. We had 7 last year. We basically tripled our attendance from last year. That's amazing. Kids Hope. We have what? 13. So that means 13 mentors, 13 prayer partners, 13 kids, 13 hours of loving God, loving others, and sharing hope with those 13 kids. And the kids know who we are, and they want a mentor who don't have one. You know, it's been interesting for me this year because I'm going at lunch hour. So between the Not Home Alone and the Kids Hope, I'm getting a lot of exposure in those places. So now when I walk into the cafeteria, I have little guys like Liam who run up to me and they're going, "Hi, Pastor Dan. I can't get through there without being a rock star," so if you will. Pardon me, I'm a little boasting this morning. But you know, it's kind of cool to know that they recognize that's the pastor. She's my pastor. She's our pastor. And that we're having an impact on the school. That's cool. Switch up. What, 25, 15, 25 kids every Monday through Friday? You know, that's a pretty cool deal. Granted, that's a joint ministry, but we're having an impact. You're providing snacks for that. Some of us are providing hands-on help there. But there's 15, 25 kids that every afternoon have a place to go that's safe, that's comfortable, that they can be who they are. They're not judged. They're not challenged. They can just be who they are. We have a part in that. We're doing some outwardly focused thing when we could be pulling inward and saying, oh dear, oh, what was that? But we haven't let that deter us. We're still continuing to reach out in the community. So how do we continue to keep that reach out going and be genuine and be intentional about sharing the message with people who aren't necessarily here on Sunday morning? They're looking for relationships, and every time we can have a chance to talk to them, that's just that much better. So we're out there, but we still have opportunities to create and make relationships with people who may not have time for Jesus. How do we understand what the community understands about who we are? We know who we are. We know what we do inside this building and the building across the street. But does the community know that? You know, I've had people who've stopped in communities, gone into places they drive in because they're looking for the Methodist church. And they drive in and they say, can you tell me where the so-and-so Methodist church is? And they look at them and they go, I haven't a clue. Have not a clue. Well, can you look it up for me? And they look it up in the phone book and they find it. Well, could you tell me where that? I don't know. Or they look up a church on the website and they can't find it on the website. But the question becomes, as you go out into the community, I want you to be intentional. And don't just ask your friends who know about the church. Ask people who may not come here on a regular basis, but see these buildings day in and day out. What do they know about these buildings? What do they know about these buildings? Don't ask them about what do they know about the church, first of all. But what do they know about these buildings? What do they know about what these buildings are about? Then ask them, what do they know about the Van Buren United Methodist Church? Drop it a little more specifically. What do they know about what happens in here? Then get a little more specific. What do they expect of a church? You may be surprised at what you hear. Notice I've made a difference in the church, because the church and our church may have two entirely different answers. What do they expect of the church? And what do they expect of our church? Some of them already know about us. We may not know what they know, but we need to find out. So what do they know about the church? What do they know about us as a church? Ask them, are we genuine? Do we know what's happening out in the community? And are we a place of hope? What would it take for them to consider coming into the building? What would it take for them to consider coming into the building? And you may say, those sound like really stupid questions, but they're really important questions. What happened in our building? What do they expect of our church? What do they expect of the church? Are we genuine? Are we relevant? Do we offer hope? What would it take for someone to consider coming in this door? But be encouraged, because God is still in charge of the world. And God still wants to be with us. And God still wants to be with us wherever we go. We're doing great things. We need to continue doing those. But there are people that need to hear our stories, need to know the stories and the message of Jesus. It might be old-fashioned to them, but it's still very relevant and it's still very pertinent to their day. So let's go out into the world and ask some questions. Be ready for some answers, but be confident that God goes with you and that God will be with you, because apart from him, you can do nothing. And be ready to be his hands and his feet in a world that needs to see his servants sharing the message of hope to all who will hear it this day and always. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church. underwritten by Fincannon Ford of Hartford City.